This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the jurisdiction subgroup meeting for January 6, 2017. First, Happy New Year to everyone. Secondly, I would ask if anyone has any changes to their statements of interest. Seeing none, I'll ask if anyone other than Jeff Newman is on audio only. Hearing nobody, I believe that everyone else is in the Adobe Connect room, and we will use that as a roll call. Staff, if you could put up the attachment for item two, expected standards of behavior. I felt, given some of the recent communications on the mailing list in particular, that it was worthwhile reminding everyone of ICANN's expected standards of behavior, which are not merely about courtesy, but also about approach to the multi-stakeholder process. We've cited these on the email list. I have cited it on the email list recently, but it does not seem to have had all of its intended effect. So I would like to ask that everyone read these. I do not need to read this out, but really have to ask for standards of civility. I'm not going to cite any particular examples, but we really need to stick to substance in our discussion, and questioning other people's mental competence or their motivations or various accusations and the like are counterproductive. It's very important if you look at the sixth bullet point, listening is very important. Seeking to understand other people's points of view rather than dismissing them out of hand is very important. And one below that, works to build consensus. We need to be flexible, and we need to try to find solutions that allow us to move forward. So I think discussions that really relate to behavior are those that I'd like to keep to a minimum. I'd also like to ask that others keep them to a minimum as well. Somebody if a couple of meetings ago predicted this questionnaire would be a significant distraction, and it has been, but we've even been distracted by that. Into discussions about motivation and about collusion and other sorts of things. And I really think it's important that we bring things back to the types of discussions that we need to have. So I hope that I don't need to mention this again, but I am going to be very hopeful that I don't have to, that they will not be shy about doing so. Thank you. Any questions or comments? I see a couple of comments in the chat, and I thank you for all of those for support. I suppose everyone supports the expected standards of behavior, or if not, it's been good knowing you. Let's take this down and move on to the next item and the next attachment. Now we're back to the questionnaire. First, we'd like to see if we can resolve what the preamble will look like in order to help make decisions. I thought it would be helpful if the various options were laid out side by side so that we could make some choices. So as you can see, we have the current preamble on the left, and then each of the alternatives that have been suggested by various participants. The first alternative being to take out the middle paragraphs. The second alternative is really to take out all mention of the subgroup's focus and direct each participant to each participant in the questionnaire, each respondent to the final report. And then alternative three is to add more excerpts to the preamble so that the preamble more expressly reflects our mandate from the final report. So I would open up the queue to comments. David McCauley.
Thanks, Greg. David McCauley here. And thank you for all the work putting all this together. It's a substantial amount of work. I actually have a preamble comment. I may comment and chat along the way with respect to individual questions, but the point that I'd like to express now is I have developed grave reservations about the questionnaire going out at all in any form. I was originally against the idea, worried that it wasn't professionally constructed and it would simply gather up opinions and supposition, but Milton convinced me that questions 1 to 3 could be done in a reasonable fashion and might gather some good information, and so I was going along. But after the last several weeks, I'm no longer convinced. The discussions around question 4 specifically, which that question to me is an extremely bad idea, but the discussions around it have sort of convinced me that we should instead stick to dispute resolution jurisdiction, which I think is the essential task we were given in the final report in Annex 12. In fact, I have a quote here. This is the very first reference in the final report at paragraph 6, and it says this in total about our job. It says that once Workstream 1 gets past the 12 recommendations, Workstream 2 will have a commitment to discuss additional accountability enhancements, including, quote, addressing questions focused on jurisdiction of contracts and dispute settlements. That's it. That's all it says. And so when I go back and look at the discussions around questions 4, which is really sort of a search for opinions, it's caused me to look closer at all the questions. And I think what I've seen is that this isn't a professional exercise. It can't be. That's not a criticism, but we're not professional survey takers. I think what it is a caution. And I think it's all underscored by the small size of the participation in our group and all groups across Workstream too, frankly. You know, if we asked a question and I tried to take a stab at a question, are you aware of any material documented instances where ICANN has been unable to pursue its mission because of its jurisdiction, I might reconsider. But even that's my attempt, and I'm not a survey professional, so I'm just concerned about the whole exercise and thought I should speak out early before we got on to specific questions, and that's my position. Thanks. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, David. Thank you for those remarks. We'll come back to that in a minute, but let's go to the next in the queue. Caboose, please go ahead.
Yes. Good day to everybody, and good day to David. I think he needs a glass of cold water to a little bit calm down. He has prepared himself. He has spoke very rapidly. I tried to grasp, but unfortunately not all, although he spoke very, very eloquently as usual. But I don't think that that helps. That does not help. However, we could take note of his statement, and it is better not to go back to square one. To take it from here, to proceed, to what extent he can progress. There has been some good proposal for question four. Perhaps we could take that one, slightly amend that, and go together and possibly finish the issue of questions at this meeting and send it to the plenary on the next plenary meeting. So this is my suggestion, and it is not appropriate that we go back. So otherwise, people taking the same positions. So let us work together. Let us have some collaborations. Not everybody will be happy, but if everybody is equally unhappy, at least is a good start. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. Let's try to keep to the substance and not make remarks about whether people are calm or not. Steve, please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. It's Steve Del Bianco. I believe the preamble, since that's the topic in front of us, is actually a function of whether we intend to stray into subjective questions like number four. And so it is appropriate to sort of jump the preamble to the questions themselves and not just talk about the preamble as if it's a standalone. I believe that an opinion-seeking question, like the way number four is designed in most of its alternatives, is completely vulnerable to an orchestrated campaign that would generate a high volume of responses, votes really, AstroTurf campaigns and votes. And the email discussion of the past 2 weeks confirms that that's a real risk here. So I would recommend that we stick with evidence-based questions, like one through three, and omit an opinion-seeking question like number four. And that changes the need for a lot of the clarification we're loading into the preamble. And finally, Greg and everyone, I would say that if some form of question four were included, I think we need to agree that when the answers come back, that we will assess only the unique responses that are supported by unique experience and evidence. This would limit the risk of anyone trying to manipulate this whole exercise through an organized and orchestrated voting campaign of opinions that come in on number four. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I'll note just briefly before turning to Milton that I added, well, very late last night, an attempt in alternative seven to question four to try to make it evidence-based. I don't have any pride of drafting, but I did add at the beginning, based on your own experiences, what are the advantages or disadvantages, if any, relating to ICANN's jurisdiction?
Greg, I noted that. Greg, Steve, this is Steve, just to follow up then. I noted that in this morning's distribution with seven, and that is why I added at the end of my intervention just now that if that alternative on question four were included, that if 5,000 people expressed the same opinion and cited the same evidence, that amounts to one element of evidence, not 5,000. That is what I meant by suggesting that however we phrase number four, to make it invulnerable to the risk of manipulation, we look at only unique elements of evidence, which is what we're already doing with one through three and comports with the entire mission of this subgroup. which is to understand whether there are actual evidence-based reasons to consider jurisdictional changes that enhance ICANN's accountability. So even if you used your alternative, we still have to add an understanding of how the answers would be weighed and considered if there's an orchestrated campaign that's designed to sway the answer. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your having noticed that. And I think, the point is that, questions one and two try to ask for actual past experiences of the respondents, and question three asks for for actual past experiences that another party has publicly reported or has been publicly reported in the news report or otherwise. Question four does not ask for actual past experiences. That I think is the flaw in question four, or the extra flaw in question four, since the whole thing is perhaps flawed from the point of view of being an actual survey. Milton.
Hello. Can everybody hear me? I've been having some audio problems, so okay, good. Yes, I do think it is emerging very clearly from this discussion today that the source of the problems is question four, and that no one has any particular objection to the first two very simple questions. One point I would like to make in response to David is that I understand his concerns very well, and indeed it may be, rather than continuing this, it is certainly worth considering whether to call off the whole fact-finding exercise, which I think would be a tragedy, but it might be better than what we're doing now. But the idea that we are not professional survey designers, I don't agree that that should prevent us from doing this. For one thing, this is not a survey. We are not doing opinion research and trying to get statistical validity. We are doing fact-finding, and I think that the first three questions do a perfectly good job of that. I'm a social sciences and academic. I have designed surveys. I have read literature about the validity of surveys and how they can be done. But I think the first three questions are basically quite simple in their request for facts, and we do need to collect facts. So I'm reiterating the idea that I've been pushing for some time, which is that we really have to disconnect question four and the very broad issues that it raises from the first three questions. I think we could have gotten out the first three questions and actually gotten some useful information back by now if we hadn't gotten stalled on question four. And some of us are getting very impatient with this, and I think that accounts for a lot of the problems we've been having. So what is it exactly that's preventing us from disconnecting these two things? That's what I'd like to know.
Thank you, Milton. I think it's a good point that this is not a survey, although Tatiana notes that questionnaire can be even harder to manage than a survey. And that whatever we get in is just going to be grist for our mill. It's not going to be a vote. It's not a poll. It's not anything other than raw data, and hopefully not cooked data. And that is something that we would just consider de novo. Not for the intent of persuasion of the group. Jean-Jacques, please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. This is Jean-Jacques. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear
Hello.
You.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Thank you. Because I have the flu, so maybe my voice is a bit weak, but I'll go ahead. A few remarks. First, to put this in historical context, The idea of examining jurisdiction of ICANN goes back many years. When I was on the board, 2007 to 2010, it was already in the discussion, and it was felt by the board that it was not appropriate to tamper with that at that time. But already in the exercise which gave rise to the publication of the Improving Institutional Confidence report, of which I was a co-author in 2009, there was the recognition that although we would not touch the idea of changing the actual location and therefore the central jurisdiction of ICANN, it was a legitimate question on some other counts. My second remark is that the whole exercise, which has been conducted now in ICANN for years and years, under the overall title of Towards the End, that we would concentrate on accountability and transparency, but that jurisdiction was a valid second phase. And now we are there. We are in that second phase. And that's why our subgroup is called Phase. My third remark is just to bring support to Milton's very good remarks about surveys. We are not into surveying, and therefore we don't need to bring our credentials as professional surveyors, whatever has been said to the contrary. And my last remark is to point out that I am in support of Alternative 7, which, Greg, you have pointed us to, and which I think is a fair enough presentation, which puts the question clearly, but does not give too many guidelines on what to do or not to do. I think we can count on people's natural intelligence and dedication to the public good. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. Parmenter.
Thank you, Greg. I raised my hand from the initial comments. And this one, the proposition is in response to his comments.
I'm sorry, can't make out what you're saying. Hopefully it's not an infrastructure, general infrastructure problem, but something particular with your setup. So can you try something? Okay, it seems that we've been able to mute Parmenter's line, which was causing interference. Christopher Wilkinson.
Good afternoon. Hello. Very briefly, first of all, as a co-author, modestly speaking, I agree with Milton about the merits of questions 1 to 3, as proposed. Regarding question 4, I think, politically speaking, and in view of the sentiments and things that have been expressed, we will finish up with a version of question 4 somewhere. I'm not opposed to the idea of addressing these matters through question 4 in a separate survey. I don't agree with the nuance that is emerging that there is a risk of sort of concerted campaigning. I would like to say that...
Christopher, could you try to back off your mic or talk a little more softly? You're actually and causing a lot of distortion in your own audio. Thank you.
Okay, this is one of the microphone attached to a rabbit. I'll try and use this microphone and not the headphone microphone. Regarding question four, I think we need something like that in view of the debate that has taken place. I would accept a solution along the lines of conducting that inquiry as a separate exercise and not necessarily linking it to the more factual questions that have that precede it. To my American friends, I would point out that U.S. jurisdiction of ICANN is circumstantial. I don't need to go into the circumstances, you know them well. And it is not comfortable for many countries as a permanent solution. Phil proposed in the past and has proposed again that that U.S. jurisdiction should be enshrined in a special article in the Articles of Incorporation. I think that's unduly provocative. I made the point months ago, and I maintain it, that U.S. jurisdiction in this case is provisional, and we should say so. Provisional jurisdiction sometimes lasts a long time. I don't think this is a threatening solution, but I think it is politically wise to leave that door open in the longer term. Personally, I do not agree with the incorporation of ICANN in any national jurisdiction. I personally think it is necessary that the international community create a global version of the not-for-profit incorporation, but that may take a decade. I don't mind things taking a decade. After all, the transition took 2 decades. So let's calm it, and above all, do not create the threat to the rest of the world that through the circumstantial majority that we no doubt have in the ICANN community at present regarding U.S. jurisdiction, that this majority should be in some sense used to enshrine this solution as a permanent basis. I speak with some experience. I forget the dates, but you all think that Brussels is the capital of Europe. Well, let me tell you that for at least a decade, Brussels was the provisional capital of Europe, and things went on perfectly well until finally political solution was found to that particular problem. Don't prejudice what this community will want to do in 10 years or 20 years' time. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. Parminder, I don't know if you want to try your audio again or if you have made your points in the chat. Parminder says, it is fine, I don't need to talk, but I encourage everyone to read Parminder's, well, I'll read Parminder's comments out so that they're on the record. Parminder says, David McCauley is making 2 points which should be taken separately, whether only choice of law, private law, is in our mandate, and the more formal issue of whether question four is properly worded to get appropriate info. Not mix the two very different things. If indeed the mandate is under question, let us elave, I don't know that word, everything and first discuss and agree on it. It is troublesome that we keep this, keeps coming back. We can't work in this manner. So let's please be first clear about mandate. Lastly, saying next, when Milton says there is no opposition to question 1 to 3 to go out, no, I oppose it because of that question 4, because a question on the nature of remit / mandate of CCWG. Those are Parmenter's remarks. David McCauley.
Thanks, Greg. Briefly. Yes, briefly. It's my second intervention. I just wanted to reply to 2 points. First, with respect to Milton and questions 1 through 3, if a questionnaire went out in any form, we would need to engage the services of a professional survey taker. Let me illustrate it this way. Question 1 asks, under the proposed question, about the ability to use or purchase DNS-related services. Alternative 1, the ability to use or purchase domain name-related services. And alternative 2, ability to use domain name-related services. A survey taker would ask us, are we sure that that will solicit replies? Does that ask for information that is within ICANN's mission only? I think Jeff Newman made the point about domain name-related services being a very broad characterization. And then secondly, with respect to Christopher's point, I would simply note that if we stick to our knitting on dispute resolution, settlement-related jurisdiction, that would include jurisdiction in California, Singapore, Turkey, China, Belgium, Uruguay, at least, and probably far beyond. I do agree the incorporation jurisdiction is in California. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, David. Mathieu?
Thank you, Greg. Can you hear me right? Not too loud and so on?
You're a little low. If you could bring yourself up a bit, that would be helpful.
I think the situation we're in is quite confusing to me, because I thought that the questionnaire principle was agreed, and I'm seeing some feedbacks that it may not be a good idea. But I'm still hearing a consensus that we need to do some fact-finding exercise. That's good. I think we keep going as well on the discussion on the scope and priorities. I would have hoped we had settled the fact that we had agreed to disagree. It's clear and you need to hold me as co-chair accountable for the lack of clarity in Watchstream 1, that we don't have a mandate that everyone shares where the priorities and the scope is. And I really urge us to move on from that. And the fact-finding exercise is probably a good way to reset the expectations and make sure we work on priorities. Of course, within the mandate, but as we've seen, the mandate itself is subject to interpretation. And I'm really doubtful that there's much we can do. I have some ideas, but except from the questionnaire, to get inputs about what people expect. And remember, we're not working for our own ideas. We're working for the community. And there was consensus in the community and beyond in Watchstream 1 to investigate on the jurisdiction issue. There's some very, very strong expectations around this subgroup, inside as well as outside ICANN. We cannot afford to give the impression that we are putting hurdles in front of the progress of this group. It's our mission through the bylaws. We're supposed to finish by mid this year, remember? We're accountable for this. And we are the first high-stake group working post-transition. People are looking at us to see whether the post-transition ICANN is a serious multi-stakeholder effort, or whether it can be captured, or whether it can be blocked from the inside. So, I really urge us to consider the way forward. We need fact-finding. Let's do it. If we're not comfortable with the questionnaire, how do we find facts to start and initiate our process? But let's not get stuck on the disagreements. We have disagreements. Let's put them aside. What we want is a way to find facts on the way forward, and we need them fast now because we're really, really running late, and we'll have to report sooner or later that we're running late and we're not delivering at this moment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mathieu, for those important words. Not to say that everyone else's words aren't equally important, but it's good to hear from one of our co-chairs and to have a broader perspective on our work. Caboose.
Yes, I think we hear quite strange and unexpected proposal from some people. They were in agreement with question 1, 2, and 3, and disagreement with question 4. But now they propose some sort of argument, and that is a very well structured and organized thing that they say, let us oppose with question 1, 2, 3, and 4. And finally, the people are in favor of question 1, 2, and 3. They agree with that, and then question 4 will be dropped. Let us mention clearly that about a week or 10 days ago, Phil Cohen, put an alternative to the question 4. It has some, I don't know whether great or majority of support. And I think that is the point of departure that we have to take up, and we have to develop that. It is pointless that we dropped question 4, as some people want, and send the question 1, 2, and 3. And it also would be very counterproductive if we drop all 4 questions. So I suggest you that as a chairman or as a rapporteur, whatever leader of this group, take the poll, the alternative, which was supported by some people, and to see to what extent we could further refine that and put a question for, rather than going to all of those alternatives. Take the alternative that he proposed, and there was support. But I am very uncomfortable if you continue to push, or if people continue to push, that question 4 should be dropped. It is important for some people. That problem that some people they have, they may not be the problem that other people they have. Therefore, those other people, they don't need question 4. But those people who have problems, they need. And we prejudge the reply from question 4. You may reply, receive no reply at all for neither of the questions. Let us not prejudge those things. Release the question and see what will happen. And that is the issue. But once again, we would not agree that question 4 will be dropped. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. I think that's an old hand from Christopher Wilkinson. Brings us to the end of the queue. To try to bring this all together and find a way forward. First, I think that we shouldn't let the perfect be the enemy of the good with regard to the questionnaire. I think that the cautions about the quality, if you will, of the question and about the what responses we will get regardless of how good the questions are all well taken. But I think, nonetheless, understanding the concerns that folks have mentioned, we should still put this out. And I think we need to review the responses for what they are. Helpful. We'll see what they are, but I think we can't try to overmanage the beginning. So let us try to decide what the questions are. And I think think we'll get the responses we get, and we'll deal with them. I think we will need to figure out exactly how to deal with question four, may need to go back, may need to try to discuss briefly, in the brief time we have left, what the purpose of question four actually is, so that we make sure we understand that purpose and can send it out knowing that it's there. And I think that it would be unfortunate for us to delay everything much further. But if we can find a solution, then I think we can proceed from there. I note that our next meeting is relatively quickly coming after this one. It's Tuesday at the same time as this. So given that, I think we can look for a solution between now and then, not try to make a definitive decision on this call about whether question four is separated and sent out separately. Actually, we're not sending this out. We're just going to post it. Maybe it can be set apart from the other questions in some fashion, or maybe we can cast it in such a way that it is also asking for facts and experiences. But in any case, we're going to get what we get, and we'll deal with it when we get it. Let us try to see if we can decide on the form of the document as much as possible and try to finalize this on Tuesday's call. So let us go back to where we started, which is with the preamble. So what I'd like to see is if we have strong support for any one formulation of this. If I could ask for any comments specifically on the preamble, and I note that, you know, there were concerns about the length of the preamble, which was not very long, but in any case, concerns about what was being stated. But as David notes, everything that is in the paragraphs crossed out in alternative one is in fact in the final report. Alternative three adds in the remaining portions of the final report and annex that actively give us our mandate. Armager, I'm not sure why you don't support alternative three, because it states in totality what our mandate is, taken from the annex 12 and from the main report. So if you don't support Annex 3, I'm concerned you don't support our mandate. So let's, again, any specific comments on the preamble? Caboose. Caboose, we're not hearing you.
Do you hear me now?
Yes.
I said that preamble should be high level, precise, concise, and short. All questions would be 5 or 6 or 10 lines maximum. Preamble should not have 12 lines. We don't need to repeat the bylaw or in the report of the first workers' meeting. You can cross-reference, as I mentioned, but make it as short as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. Does I mean you're supporting question alternative one, or which of the specific alternatives, or do all of them, are all of them short enough for you? Caboose, go ahead, please.
I can support the shortest alternative. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. Any other comments on the preamble? I would, it's not up to me to decide which of these four alternatives to pick. Parmiter says, to answer Greg, I do not support alternative three because it quotes the mandate selectively. In fact, it quotes everything that in the report that sets out what this group is supposed to do. So that is our mandate. All that's left out is the portions of alternative 12 that annex 12 that set the stage for the final paragraph of paragraph 30, which sets our mandate out. I encourage everyone to go back and read annex 12 and the final report to see what we're actually supposed to be doing here. So I see support for alternative one building. I'd like to break this down into a first. Let's get some check marks for support for alternative one. Give me green checks, even if you've made remarks in the chat that you're in support of it, support of alternative one. Caboose remarks that people may not pay a lot of attention to the preamble. We would like them to know what they are responding about and not just going off on whatever they think ICANN's jurisdiction means to them, not a free-form essay. Christopher Wilkinson opposed. Anyone opposed to alternative one does not believe it is our best choice. Believes there is a better choice among this. Please put a red X. Yeah, note two red X's and six green checks. Please take down your X's and checks. Taking down your X's and checks, if there's anybody who supports alternative two as the best choice, please put a green check. I see a green check for Christopher Wilkinson. Phil and Sean, are those checks for alternative two? I see Phil is taken down, so that's Sean is up, so I will believe that is two green checks for alternative two. Finally, alternative three, any support for alternative three? I see an X from Parmiter, continuing check from Sean that may be for this, and Aubrey and Christopher checks for alternative three. So that's three and one. Last, anyone who supports the current preamble as it is and going ahead with it as it is, please put up a check. Or if you oppose part of that, please put up an X. Christopher, go ahead. Christopher, we're not hearing you. Any case, Palmer noted that...
Sorry, I didn't ask for the floor, but that's the wrong click.
Yes. Sorry, Christopher, I couldn't make out what you said.
I said I did not ask for the floor.
Oh, sorry, your hand was up at one point. Okay.
I tried to delete a check.
Okay, no problem. Understood. Caboose?
Yes, Paul Mandel says that for him, alternative two is the best. But we are not looking the best and the good. Could he also leave with alternative one, which I think there are more support? So could you put alternative one for final test? Thank you.
Thank you. Let's, Parmeter mentioned that there was one other suggested change to the document. If you look at alternative three, the second paragraph adds and the actual operation of policy to the end of alternative three, second paragraph. That reflects how we have been phrasing questions and reflects some of the phrasing that is in Annex 12. You'll note in the quoted language in Alternative 3 says that we are looking at the influence that ICANN's existing jurisdiction may have on the actual operation of policies and accountability mechanisms. So let's ask first those who support Alternative 1 without adding and the actual operation of policies to the end of the second paragraph, please put up a green check. Steve, go ahead. Okay, that was, I see another check to hand to check conversion. And Tatiana as well. Those who support alternative one with the addition of and the actual operation of policy, please put up a green check. If you can live with either one, you can leave your green check up for this second version of alternative one, which would add and the actual operation of policies to the end of paragraph two. For this, I see one, two, three, four, five, six, green checks, no red X's. In the interest of time, I think that alternative one with the addition of this should be our preferred alternative. We can put this out on the list, confirm this on our Tuesday call, but I think that is our best alternative. With 5 minutes left, let's at least take a look at question one. We are not going to get to question four on this call, but I ask that we discuss question four on the list, including what people think is the purpose of question four. If we understand the purpose, then we will perhaps have a better idea of how to phrase it and understanding, again, that there are substantial range of opinions and perspectives in this group. Question one, first alternative is to change DNS to domain name and make no other changes. Those who support alternative, and then, oh, sorry, let's before we do that, alternative two, is to take out the reference to your business, your privacy, and also to purchasing domain so that it simply relates, it says, has your ability to use domain name-related services been affected by ICANN's jurisdiction in any way. Those who support alternative one, which has prior support, please put up a green check. I see several, four green checks. Any opposition, any red X's for this one? I see none. Let's move on to alternative two. Those who prefer alternative two, please put up a green check. Take your checks down if you prefer green, prefer alternative one. If you can live with both, leave it up. So this is alternative two. Support for alternative two. Any opposition, please put up a red X. I see for this one, three red X's, two green checks. So I think that our alternative to be posted to the list for final approval would be alternative one. It's now 8:58, we can discuss the last. Jean-Jacques, could you go on mute? We hear your typing. Since it's now 8:59 New York time, apologies for being time zone specific. It's time for us to wrap this call. We will get to question four on Tuesday's call, but I asked specifically, and I will ask on the list, for us to discuss the alternatives to question four and the purposes of question four and how best to handle question four. With that, I'll ask if there are any final remarks from any of our participants. Seeing none, I want to thank you all. I think this was a good discussion. I think that does point out certain ongoing challenges that we have that we will continue to deal with. And once we get past this questionnaire, we'll be dealing with them. I also encourage everyone to go back and look at the effective jurisdiction, effective ICANN's existing jurisdiction document that was circulated. That really should have been the focus of our work, but please do continue to focus on that. So, again, we have our next call in just a few days. Let's try to wrap this questionnaire up and move on. I am fine with Caboose calling me Greg instead of Greg. It is part of the multi-stakeholder model. So I thank you all for attending, and we shall now adjourn this call. Milton wants to give me grief or gref. In any case, I thank you all for this. Let us now stop the recording, and I will speak to you all on Tuesday and hear from you all on Tuesday and on the list. Thank you, and goodbye.